Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome into Brewcast from Mazin Brew on the SB Nation Podcast Network. Here with you on Tuesday night, June 7th, headed into Wednesday, June 8th. And boy, do we got a special one here as the gang is back together, welcoming on for the first time in over a year, both Chris Castellani and Anthony Broom. Man, it feels good to be back with you guys. How are we doing, fellas, man? Good to see you boys.
Well, I had to jump back on because my residuals haven't been coming through. So I decided to jump on board and see what's going on with that. I mean, what just the operation slowed down? What's going on over there?
I'm upset now because residuals, this is new to me, Anthony. Yeah. Apparently I was unfamiliar with this for the 3 years which I was working there. No, dude, this is awesome. I mean, this is such a cool thing. And I'm happy that we're able to do it now because I think we all remember the summer months, the post basketball season. Are we doing Mount Rushmores? What are we talking about? We had a year in which the world stopped for about 5 months. That was wonderful. And then we had 4 months after that, in which we wish the world would have stopped because we had to watch Michigan football in 2020. And now we found our way back here doing this for, I'm not going to say one more go around because I'm sure we'll find our way back, but this will definitely be a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to catch up with you guys, man. I'm sure the listeners did as well, and that's the thing. I think it's been just a little over a year now, Chris, since we had our final farewell here on on Brewcast, man.
And I blubbered my way through that one.
That was a tough show. It was a great show, but it was a tough one, no question about it. Yeah. But so how's it been, man? Since going to Barstool, how's it all been this last year plus for you?
Professionally, it's been the single greatest ride of my life ever. The amount of pinch me I must be dreaming moments are aplenty. It's one thing that I love about working at Barstool is that they preach honesty all the time. And one of the thing, and that makes me happy because I can say in all honesty, I've truly enjoyed my time there. I enjoy being around the people. I enjoy the atmosphere. I enjoy going to HQ. I enjoy playing trivia. I enjoy doing the show that I do. I mean, it's been an absolutely incredible journey with some incredible people. And I'm proud to be where I'm at. It's been a trip, man. It's been really insane.
Yeah, I mean, it's been awesome to see everything happen, you know, over the last year, just everything kind of falling into place. And yeah, it just continues to grow, man. And it's awesome to see.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, and then of course, so after you left, me and Anthony, we were still here for a while. We had a few months. We had to get through those summer months, Anthony, that Chris talked about, and then we had a pretty good Michigan football season going for a while. Then you left, I think, to go to On3 in October, was it, Anthony?
Yeah. So technically speaking, I left to go to the Wolverine, which is where I still am. And at the time, we were still on the Rivals network. So I wrote on Rivals for a month or so, and then those sites transitioned over and we moved to On3, and that's where it's been ever since. It has, time has flown by. I mean, last season flew by. To change jobs mid-season is not something that I ever expected to do. It's just sometimes opportunity comes a knocking and you go with your gut. And to be frank with you, I think I had kind of taken Mazin Brew as far as I could personally take it. So to have the opportunity to, you know, it's been different, right? Because I jump into this, it's always been important to me to have an authentic voice inside, you know, our own market, which who knows, maybe that leads to something bigger someday. But at the time it was like, you know, I just wanted to do stuff that people gravitated to and respected. And the opportunity, you know, there was a couple opportunities on the table. The one with On Three was just, to me, a no-brainer. And but it was a weird dynamic because you go from running a site for 7 or 8 years to, I don't want to say I'm just a cog in the machine over there, but that is a, I mean, the Wolverine has been around for 30 some odd years. The magazine has been around for probably as long as that. The website has been around for, you know, over 2 decades. So to jump into that and not, you know, go from being the big fish in the small pond, so to speak, to kind of being just a fish in the Atlantic Ocean is how I feel sometimes. It's been a big adjustment, but it has been, you know, I've learned a lot about, you know, I feel like I've gotten better as a writer. I feel like I've gotten better in terms of analysis. I can't just come onto a podcast every week and start screaming and yelling my face off. So it's been a lot of work, but to see my name in print now, which is a new thing, has been pretty awesome. We're working on our football preview magazine right now, which is the first one that I'll be a part of, which is, it's a lot of work. I mean, I haven't put this much work and research into a project since I was at CMU, but it's incredibly rewarding, and it's what it's really going to do is, for at least from my perspective, I mean, when we get to the fall, I'm going to be rattling off as much knowledge about this football team, or knowledge or stupidity, whatever it is, based on all the stuff I've learned than I ever have. So it's been great. That's been the long and the short of what I've been up to the last year or so.
You want to know what I've thought about a couple of times that kind of sucks? I felt like we deserved, us three as a show, we deserved a show after beating Ohio State, man. Because we deserved to have a show that was the exact opposite of the 2018 show, you know?
Yeah. That was the first one that came to mind. You guys were the first two people that came to mind when that happened, which is that was, I would say, in terms of content, I think, Anthony, I remember you saying that was one of our more popular shows, because you have the Buckeye fans who actively search out the Michigan fans' reaction to a loss like that. But that was the content itself was fine because we were justifiably angry, and I felt like despite our anger, we handled ourselves with, you know, legitimate class. I mean, we weren't completely crazy, just mildly crazy. But I would say that was the most painful podcast we ever recorded.
No question.
Because I think all of us, I was, per usual, probably the most trepidatious of the three of us, but I think all of us came into that game being like, the only way this team loses is if they just play a bad game. None of us saw disaster. None of us saw, because really, I haven't actively searched out this game. Like, why would I? But every so often you see it on the, you know, it'll be on at the gym on Big Ten Network or something like that. And just the feeling I think we all collectively got in the pits of our stomach when Ohio State just drove right down the field on the first drive with crossing pattern after crossing pattern. I'm like, this ain't going to go well. And that feeling carried over for the next 3 years to a point where I've gone back pretty much daily and watched the highlights from last year's Ohio State game, right? And going back and watching it, it was done. They could not stop the run. And yet at the time, I remember watching it being like, don't screw this up. We're a fumble away. We're a pick away, a turnover away, a blocked punt. And it was amazing going back and watching that game and realizing it was never actually as close as I thought it was. So, yeah, I mean, that's why that was the first thing I did was I called you guys. And it's like, yeah, that was obviously post, especially for Anthony, after that happened. Probably one of the busiest weeks he's ever had, you know, writing about that, being like, because you, in fairness, and this, I'll reveal a secret here. It was you, Luke, who texted us, because we still have the group chat going, saying something about this feels different. And I appreciated the sentiment, but I was not buying in. Like, don't do this. I'm not going and acting like this is going to end up any differently than how things have ended up since 2011. But yeah, I think that team and that game in particular remembered as the one that really did break the mold. They came out in that game with such confidence. Top three, it's intertwined with the Indy game as well. Top three sports memory ever, just like what we were able to go through and experience with that team. And there's something special about it being a team that really none of us thought would be the one. I mean, we thought this team could be 18, could be even 19. This one out of nowhere with the caliber of player and personnel they had, it'll be special forever. Yeah.
Well, and part of the thing with that team, too, is that I think a lot of the discourse leading up to the year, and Luke, I remember those shows we did where we were doing record predictions, and I believe we said 8-4, 9-3, whatever it was.
Yep.
And there was that Washington fan that came out and said that Washington was going to beat the brakes off Michigan. And you know, I remember all that stuff. I think, you know, going back to what the preseason discourse was, I think we were just kind of hoping they'd win 8 or 9 games, mm-hmm, get the culture back to where it needed to be. Maybe because you've lost a few games in there, you throw JJ in there, you have a springboard into this year, with this year being the year. So last year, what happened? I mean, what it allowed them to do was go out there. They had their cake. They were able to eat their cake. Have their cake and eat it too, in terms of let's rebuild the culture. Let's get things back on the right track, but let's also get a couple wins on the road, you know, close out Nebraska, beat the hell out of Wisconsin. You know, the Michigan State game didn't go their way, but you know, win a road game at Penn State, take care of Ohio State, win a Big Ten championship. There were so many narratives that were knocked off that last year that, I mean, it was, and it doesn't undo what came before it. And it doesn't undo a lot of the negative things that the three of us would say on a Monday evening. You know, I still look back on the podcast post Michigan State during the COVID year as probably the lowest moment.
Yeah, I would. The Ohio State game, I think, was probably more devastating.
Way more. Yeah. 2018 Ohio State was more devastating. No question.
But Ohio State was great that year. It wasn't like we lost, like, you know, Dwayne Haskins, obviously, rest in peace, lit it up all season. Right. Like, I don't think any of us thought that that was some sort of guarantee Michigan's going to walk into Columbus and steamroll. And we thought it would be competitive. Mm-hmm. That game, especially in the aftermath of what Michigan State did that season. Yeah, I mean, that is it, that's the worst loss of the Harbaugh era. I mean, I think really, I still, people like, you know, quote tweet us as, you know, with the takes and shit like that. But honestly, like, if they would have fired him after that game, would have completely understood the decision.
That was the lone time I think I ever said that. You know, I haven't been big on the fire Harbaugh train, but I said that Michigan State loss was a fireable offense, and I will stand by that. There's no question about it. It was that bad, but. I mean, we talked about it through all the years, is that we always gave Harbaugh credit, man. He was willing to adjust. He went and he kind of revamped the whole staff and everything like that. And last year, it was definitely worth it. I didn't get to meet up with you guys, unfortunately, down in Indy, man. I didn't pull the trigger fast enough on some of those tickets, but you guys went down, man. You know, we had talked about it for years. What was it like down there for that weekend?
You want to take it, Broom, or do you want to...
I mean, there's a couple of different ways we could go with this. the long and the short of it was incredible. I mean, I've been waiting for a St. Elmo's shrimp cocktail for, you know, since there's been a Big Ten championship game in Indianapolis. I've wanted to have that meal. I've wanted to, you know, run into people that we've been, you know, family, friends, former players that we've covered in the past. I wanted to see them on the streets of Indy. And to do all of that, and like I said, it's just a blur, because really what that whole, it really was the process of that. It's really just a 2-week thing, because Ohio State week to, you know, being in Schembechler Hall that next morning, or the next, you know, whatever it was, noon when they released the playoff rankings, that's all a blur. Because I don't know if I've told you guys this before, but when after that, well, Chris knows because he was in the car with us on the way back, but we didn't leave the stadium, Lucas Oil, that is, until about 2 o'clock in the morning. And that was after we found out that media was going to have to be back in Ann Arbor by noon to be there for like the playoff show and all that stuff. So basically what it boiled down to is, for as long of a week as that already was, then it was, okay, we need to knock out a couple hours of work when we get back to the hotel, probably not go to bed till around 4, 4:30, get a couple hours of sleep, wake up at 6, 6:30, shower, pack, and hit the road, be back in Ann Arbor by noon. It was insane. So the few weeks of reprieve that followed that, I mean, I don't want to say it felt like it was the, like whatever happened after that, like obviously you would have loved to see them beat Georgia, be competitive against Georgia, but that really did feel like once I got home from that extravaganza, it was like, okay, whatever happens from here is what it is, because I've aged like a U.S. president the last 2 weeks. So,
dude, it's a perfect way to put it, because the short of it is Indy just as a city rules. It's clean. It's like, I love Detroit. We got a long ways to go before Detroit's playing that game. Like, I would be content with Indy playing that game for the next 20 years. Really, I mean, walking into Lucas Oil, just like forgetting the city for a second, that feels like where a championship game is played. Like, it's just, it has that kind of environment. It has this palatial. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, it's a cathedral. The weekend itself, you know, we got there Thursday, and then we did, you know, the shrimp cocktail. We did St. Elmo's Friday. I'll leave out many details here. got a little bit crazier than I expected it to. And then I woke up Saturday morning, and I'm like, dude, like, we got a game to play tonight. Like, I got to recover.
if it had been a noon kickoff, we'd have all been in trouble that day.
I might not have made it. I might have been having to watching it from the Days Inn or wherever we were in Indianapolis. No, but beyond that, but the other thing people forget too is that was the day Michigan basketball played San Diego State. In that game, that was the I would say Frankie Collins breakout game, but you know, we know what happened there. But I remember that was like, they were really struggling, but we went to a bar, we watched that, and then we ended up going to the game. And shout out, credit to Chris Ballas, because my phone was about to die, and I could not, for I think because Indy was so overwhelmed by the service, I could not get an Uber, and part of it was like 1 o'clock in the morning, so nobody would get there. So Ballas had to come rescue me at Dick's Last Resort, which is a restaurant in Indy, and then yeah, we got like 4 hours of sleep. But I mean, there was obviously moments for sure afterwards, because I know Anthony was tired, but Anthony, you still had, I think, if not a podcast, I think at least a article you had to write. And the one thing I don't think I've even told you, Anthony, is obviously I'm co-hosting Lights, Camera, Barstool now, and Jeff Lowe texted me at about 12:30 in the morning being like, I need you to watch The Power of the Dog before 2 p.m. tomorrow. And I love Jeff and I love Ken Jack, but internally I'm like, the last thing on my mind right now is watching Power of the Dog. Like, you know, Cumberbatch is great, but I am not completely invested at this point. So I didn't tell you this. I watched it on my phone as Ballas was driving us back to the hotel where we were. So, I mean, overall, I mean, one of those like all-time great weekends and all-time great experiences. And yeah, you know, it's a weird thing, because the Georgia game obviously was a mess and embarrassing. Yeah. They should have played better, but I don't know. I don't hold anything about that season in a negative light. It's very comparable to me to the 2018 Michigan basketball run where they lost to Villanova, and it's like, dude, that Villanova team was nails, dude. I don't care how many times you play that game. It's like one of the best college basketball teams of recent memory. Look at this run they took us on, and the fact that we were able to experience it. Because really, I mean, pre-Barstool, there's no way I'm going to Indy. Like, there's no way I'm dishing out the money to do that and be able to do that. So the fact that it happened at all, and to see people rallying the way they did, and as excited as they were, it's an all-time Michigan football, Michigan sports moment.
Yeah. Oh, it was unbelievable, man. And I feel the same way you guys do about Georgia. And I think I don't know if the time off has something to do with it too, right? Like, it's a couple weeks since you last played in the Big Ten championship game. You know, it was pretty close to a full month, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it was what, December
3rd? Like,
Was it that? I thought it was.
Yeah, yeah, and then they didn't play until December 31st. I mean, that's pretty much a full month, you know. And I think that has a lot to do with it. There's a lot of hoopla in there, you know. Obviously, Aiden Hutchinson going to New York for the Heisman Trophy ceremony and everything like that. Like, I feel like that could be something that college football, you know, could address, because by that time, whatever happened in that Georgia game, like, I was pumped for it that day, you know, on New Year's Eve and everything like that. But nothing quite like I was November 27th or that Big Ten championship game day, you know?
I think it was one of those instances, and I hope this changes one day, but it was one of those instances where it's like, all right, whatever happens after this is gravy. Now, you would have wanted them to be more competitive, but truly, I remember watching that game. I was watching that because that was when I was in New York at the time for New Year's Eve. And the first play, Georgia railed off 8 yards on a run play, and we're just like, Yeah, they're in it. They're in it. Yeah, like it's just that's another example where I think the loss to Alabama really kind of shook people's opinions.
Mm-hmm.
But that defense, there was no way. There was no way. It was there's NFL players all across the field. Michigan played a bad game. They did. I mean, they didn't execute offensively at all. But that's one of the best college football teams ever. And so, I mean, there was no real, like, you know, sadness towards it other than the fact that we weren't going to get another opportunity to watch them play.
Yeah. And to hope this isn't copyright infringement here, I'll say this.
Oh,
if hey,
talk about residuals. Yeah. Text in the mail, my friend.
I think if Michigan and Georgia had played that next week, and I'm not saying not that Michigan would win. I think that would have been a much more competitive game because mm-hmm. Michigan was hot. I think Georgia was shell shocked by getting basically torn to pieces by Bryce Young and Jameson Williams. It was pretty apparent early on in that game where things were headed. And mm-hmm. I want to say this because I know we're getting into the summer and the quarterback battle discourse has started to heat up. Michigan did not lose that game because of Cade McNamara. No. They didn't lose it because J.J. McCarthy didn't play sooner. They didn't really even lose it because they weren't ready to play. That was a better football team.
100%. It was one of the greatest defenses of all time in college football history.
Yeah, the best, what the Joe Moore Award-winning people said was the best offensive line in college football got its brains beaten in by maybe the best defensive line in college football history. I mean, it's Jordan Davis, Trayvon Walker, Devontae Wyatt, those guys are insane.
You just mentioned three first round picks right there.
Yep. And N'Kobe Dean should have been a first round pick, but there was that
Quay Walker went in the first round too.
Yeah, you know, he was the first overall pick. So it's it was one of those things where when you see N'Kobe Dean run down, I think it was Blake Corum, like from the other side of the field.
Right. Well,
it's just like I know where this is heading. Like mm-hmm. it's going to be the mollywhopping that people made fun of Michigan State for and that people have made fun of Washington for. Like, that's just a talent gap. So, again, I think the 2018 comparison to Michigan hoops, I think it's pretty apt. Like, you just ran into a buzzsaw. What it did serve, though, is, like, I think Michigan as a program, I think it proved that, like, having the aspirations to beat Ohio State, go to Indianapolis, get to the college football playoff, like, that's never been – like asking for some pie in the sky scenario. But what it serves as is once you get there, it's like a progress report of, okay, you need to do these things. You need to look like this. You need to athletically be this. It was benchmarks that you have to hit to get to that Georgia point. And I think Michigan right now is in a good spot where I think they can sort of build to that, like maybe not be one of the best teams in college football history, but you know, if these next couple of recruiting classes develop the way I think that you can kind of see the archetypes of guys they're looking at, like I last year doesn't have to be like, we're talking about it like it was some dream season. And in a lot of ways it was, but when Jim Harbaugh said it, it feels like it's the beginning of something. That's something that I share that opinion.
Well, I feel like the offense should be probably even more explosive this year, even though Michigan was, what, top two or top three in explosive plays last season, you know? I mean, the speed coming back, all the receivers, plus you bring back Ronnie Bell, Donovan Edwards with another year to develop. Blake Corum's going to be, you know, healthy at least to begin the year and hopefully stay healthy all year, you know? I mean, dude, this and you bring in an All-American center to fill a gap on the offensive line, man. I mean, I do have high expectations for the offense. You know, obviously the defense is going to be a question mark, but it felt like a springboard into a lot of hype here this summer.
And I don't really think right now expectations are relatively reasonable. I think they've bought themselves some good time here. If they go 11-2 this year with a loss to Ohio State and they don't go to Indy, there always will be.
Right.
But I think a majority of the fan base will say, okay, you got your one last year. You're still good. You still have people coming back. You could still build off of this. I think that it's ironic because I just made the 2018 basketball comparison. But my hope is that we look back on last year's football team as the football equivalent of the Trey Burke team where, you know,
look at it. I love that picture, by the way. Everyone listening can't see it, but it's the Kansas shot, and it's amazing.
Yeah. But the reason that why that team was so special is that it wasn't a fluke run. Beeline sustained it, and they went to the Elite Eight the next year, and they went to the national championship 5 years later, and they went to a ton of Sweet 16s and Big Ten championships, Big Ten tournament championships. My hope is that we look at the 2021 football team as the one that really broke the mold and led to this really fruitful era of Michigan football. And dude, it's not going to get any easier. Last year was incredible. Ohio State's not going anywhere. No. I hate to break it to people. They're going to be insanely good this year. They're going to be hungry this year too. I mean, they are going to be mad. Anthony's brought it up many times. I think he's right. One of the biggest losses to this team, outside of just regular like players on the team, Mike McDonald's defensive scheme last season against Ohio State was a stroke of genius. And, you know, is Minter a guy who's going to be capable of drawing up a game plan like that again? And even beyond that, Ohio State is, especially after that game, they're never going to be as weak on the front seven as they were a year ago. So if the offense opens up, whether it's JJ or Cade, and you have the skill position players you have, you could create more special memories. But it's gonna continue to be difficult every single year.
I just hope we didn't sacrifice Michigan hoops. You know, like that was the joke going around last year. You know, it was one of those hypotheticals. Would you trade beating Ohio State in a Big Ten championship for Michigan basketball missing the tournament? But they ultimately didn't. And I just saw a tweet yesterday, and it stumbled upon after Michigan's horrid loss in the baseball regional. Couple days ago, or yesterday, I should say. No Big Ten team with Maryland going down as well. No Big Ten team in the four major sports made it further than Michigan here this year in the postseason. It's kind of remarkable when you think about that.
I think that I've talked about this in my show as well, where we live in this existence where it's championship, be the last team standing or bust. And when you really think about it, that's fandom is so bizarre. Where what percentage of teams that you root for are the last team standing at the end of? We've been alive. We talk about our fandoms. I guess you could include the Red Wings teams, right? So there's a few there. Pistons once.
Yep.
That's it. But so like it's so hard, especially in college sports, given the system that exists in college football right now, just to be there. And just to be able to fight for that spot. And the fact that, yeah, of course, like I wanted to beat Georgia. We all did. I wanted to beat Villanova. I wanted to beat, a Louisville team in 2013 that, was openly cheating and ended up getting popped for it. But at the same time, being able to get to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament, being able to get to Indy, being able to get to the playoff, like that stuff is exciting. I think that there's a trade-off there where there's certain teams like the Miami Marlins, who have made the playoffs three times in their existence, won the World Series twice, and every other year they've been terrible. I don't think that's that fun, actually, because I just don't feel like the build-up, the chase is as exciting, because it's like, oh, they're good this year. I guess I'll watch them. Oh, they won. Okay, and then they gut the team the next year. Mm-hmm. I think that is a kind of a remarkable thing that Michigan has built a brand and a program in multiple sports that is there, that is competing for stuff every single year, that's fighting for something. And they've come up short. Last year's basketball team, man, we would have had some good podcasts with that team last year, with the amount of stuff that went down. They were somehow able to salvage it, because that year was a disaster until the first weekend of March. And yet you get to the second weekend and lost a game you probably could have easily won if you would have made a few jump shots. It's enjoyable. It's fun.
What would that podcast have been like after the Indiana Big Ten tournament game? Been like,
oh, you see, I thought you were going to ask about after the slap, because that was,
that would have also been an all timer. No question about
because
it.
That was in fair. You could, I don't know if it still exists, but Anthony and I hopped on Twitter Spaces after that. And it will, oh man, tell you what, you talk about people having strong opinions. And it's weird the way that,
like, you mean, not to interrupt, but you mean like that Juwan Howard should go to jail for assault?
Yes. You literally took the words out of my mouth where it's like that got to a point where it's like, okay, maybe ease up a little bit on this. Like maybe it's not a national news story the way people think. But no, I mean, I think that ultimately, you're right. The Indiana loss was excruciating. I think that what we've learned over these last 2 years, I mean, the 2021 team was loaded, is that like, college basketball is the strangest sport in existence, because college football, you got to play every game and you got to try to win every game. Like Michigan beating Ohio State was every bit as important as them beating Rutgers, because if you would have slipped up in one of those games, you don't get to Indy. You don't get to the Big Ten championship and you don't get to the playoff. It really is amazing that this Michigan basketball team last year that had these insane expectations that fell short of their expectations through 95% of the season ended up making it farther than, well, along with Purdue, who ended up losing to a 15 seed, farther than any other team in their conference. Like that's, it's a bizarre, it's bizarre how that works where there's no more meaningless regular season in college basketball.
Yeah. I've also learned to not take anything for granted, right? Like that Michigan basketball season, you go in with all these expectations and it, like if Michigan football did stumble to 8 wins or whatever last year, be like, oh, we still got Michigan basketball. You know, this is a preseason right, top exactly. seven, you know, like we're going to be good. And then boom, that's why even with like football this year, I'm going in with some expectations, but it's like, I can't say for sure that anything good is going to happen. You know what I'm saying? Like it's crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, the ebbs and flows of it all. And that's a big lesson. I feel like I learned in 2021 that it just try to appreciate them, you know, every single win. And that's what I tried to do in football, because until the week happened of Ohio State, like leading up to that week, when I did text you guys, I was like, I do feel this is different. I had no dreams of grandeur that Michigan was going to win that football game. And I was like, I'm just going to enjoy every one of these games. I enjoyed the hell out of that Penn State game when they came back and won, you know, just for that, you know, to just live in the moment and enjoy that. And then obviously they go out and do what they do. But that's kind of one thing that I was like, I'm just going to try and sit back, especially after the Michigan State loss. I think that's when I really did it as well. Like I'm done looking down the road. Just I'm taking this one game at a time.
Well, and I think that's the right way to approach it too. I mean, that's, in a lot of ways, that's how last year was. I mean, they were a Junior Colson fumble recovery away last year from maybe losing to Rutgers or not putting a drive together at the end of the Nebraska game from losing at Nebraska or what have you. On the flip side, you were, you know, maybe a missed call here or there away from beating Michigan State. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to do what they did last year. And there could be some of those things that went in their direction last year, like maybe that hurts you at Iowa this year, or you lose to Michigan State or Penn State. I'm not speaking to Willis into existence, but it's just, you know, college football, every game that you play is the biggest game on your schedule, mm-hmm. because if you drop it, there's a good chance your season's over. Now that wasn't the case for Michigan last year because you lost to Michigan State. It ultimately didn't matter because you took care of business against Ohio State, but recent history has suggested that losing that Michigan State game meant you were screwed because of what had usually happened against Ohio State. So it's just, you take it one game at a time, you enjoy the ride for what it is, you know, no matter which way it goes, you know, bringing it full circle with this year's team, let's say they slip back to 10-2, 9-3, I think 8-4 to me is the absolute floor. When you look at what their schedule is, mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of guys from this team that come back for next year, and Michigan fans get tired of the wait till next year stuff. But when you look at it from a health of the program standpoint, it's pretty remarkable to me that they were able to get their mojo back in just that one season. And now we're talking about them playing for Big Ten championships again, when, you know, just even earlier this offseason, you were facing the reality that your head coach might not be here anymore. And it was different circumstances for that in 2020. But yeah, it's just enjoy the ride. And no matter what happens, I mean, that Block M is not going anywhere and those players aren't going anywhere. So you may as well just ride it out and see what happens, because you're not going anywhere else, I don't think. So
yeah, man. And
I don't know where I was going with that, by the way. I'm just going to trail off.
I like that.
Like old times.
That was a good message. Yeah, no, that was a good message. I liked that, you know. But before we wrap this thing up, I want to know what is going on with you guys here. In you know, for this week, for the summer months, you know, what do you guys go? Anthony, I know you talked about it. You got the big preview magazine that's going to be coming out. When are we going to be expecting this?
Okay, so this is the loaded question. This is like when you go to family dinner and people ask like when grandkids are coming or things. No. Deadline. our deadline to get our copy in is, I believe, the 17th. We go to print sometime around the 27th, I want to say, and it will be in newsstand or on newsstands and in mailboxes, hopefully sometime early in July. So to give the sales pitch on it, I mean, if you go to the website right now, thewolverineondemand.com, you have until June 27th, I believe the date is, to order and get shipping for free. So it's 160 full color pages. We've got features with players, with coaches, with a full Big Ten preview. That's what I'm working on right now. I'm going through the Big Ten, predicting standings, ranking players, things like that. I mean, it's 160 pages. And again, I'm going to make the sales pitch here. There is no disrespect to Mason Brew, by the way. There is nobody in this market that will have this team covered better than ours will, because we just spent months putting this thing together. So, be sure to check that out. WolverineOnDemand.com. That's going to be coming some on the pipe. Hopefully you'll have it before, I can't make any promises, but sometime in early July. So 160 pages, plenty of stuff in there. It's as deep of a dive as you'll get on this football team. And that's where that's going.
Damn, I'm looking forward to that, man. And then, Chris, obviously you got a lot going on right now. You got a couple of shows that you're doing. Give us a rundown. What's the schedule looking like for you?
Yeah, no, I'll keep it quick. Obviously, at CastLine 2014 on Twitter. Host of All Say This, co-host, third chair on Lights, Camera, Barstool. And every Monday, co-hosting Money Shots with Megan and Kelly, which is a gig that I really enjoy doing as well. But beyond that, this is promoting this birthday week. And I feel like I'm getting older. I don't really give a shit about birthdays anymore. Whatever. It's another day of life. But I want to do something good with it. My pinned tweet on my profile right now is a link to the Freddy the Pizza Man Foundation. We're going to be promoting that all week. I know Freddy is a family friend of Anthony's as well, trying to set up sensory rooms all across the state of Michigan in schools, with the main hope of helping out children with autism. The link to where to donate as well as more information is on a three tweet thread on my profile right now, like I said, at Castellani 2014. And yeah, you'll see my ass popping up like Punxsutawney Phil every so often on a few other Barstool sports shows. So yeah, I mean, follow me on those platforms, but even beyond that, I appreciate the audience I have. Go out and donate, do what you can. If you have the opportunity, whatever you can donate, that we'll be running through probably this week. And then, we'll go from there. So if you can help, much appreciated.
Man, boys, I this has been a blast. I can't even put it into words, man. It's been great seeing you guys. It's been great talking to you fellas. I really appreciate you coming on here this week. It felt like old times, man. I love talking to you guys, and keep up the great work, because you guys are doing fantastic, fantastic things.
Well, likewise, you're doing great as well, my friend, and we miss you, and the chance to sit down and collaborate with you was God, where did the time go? I mean, it just flew by so quickly. So maybe it'll have to happen sooner again. Wink, wink, nod, nod.
Well, boys, like I said, really appreciate it. And we'll be on the lookout for all your stuff. That is Anthony Broom and Chris Castellani. Again, can't thank them enough. For Anthony and Chris, I'm Luke Yardi, and we'll see you next week on Brewcast.